Hi, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Jacob.
And I'm Najee. And you're listening to Across the Table.
And we're live.
And we are live. Welcome back to another episode of Across the Table. We're here today with myself, Jacob. We got Matt. We got Najee here today, and I'm really excited to talk about this episode because it's been kind of one that's been building up to. If you listen to our episode zero, you kind of know anime is a big inspiration for us. And so, anyways, today I'm excited to talk about a little bit of anime. And anyways, so let's get into it. Let's see, where do I want to start? I want to start with something that I thought was actually very interesting. If you look at movies and if you look at books, and when you have adaptations of books to movies, I should say, it seems like you always get those people that really kind of like pick the movie apart, and because it's not exactly the same, they really kind of try and destroy it a little bit sometimes, or bring it down to some level. I was thinking about this a little bit during the week, and anime is kind of like the perfect blend of like the middle ground, if you will, because you get the very much so in-depth character traits like you do in books, but you get it in film form or film medium through anime. And so I thought that was an interesting place for us to start, just because it kind of ties into what anime is and why people like it so much, is because there are characters that are so relatable to them for various reasons. And so anyways, if y'all have any thoughts on that, y'all can feel free to join in. But I wanted to start there just because I don't know. It seems like a good balance, and considering we've talked about movies quite a bit,
It's actually perfect. Yeah. I was thinking about that on the way over here.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Without even looking at your notes, without looking at anything that you've written, or we haven't even talked. So it's really funny that that's where you want to start. I thought about, and it's something that we talk about quite often in anime, and when the discussion comes up, whether we're talking with other people or between ourselves, the over-exaggeration that occurs in anime. And it's funny because for me, I was thinking in the car, the reason I relate so well to anime and enjoy watching it more than most things is because normally the characters have these insane obstacles they have to overcome. Because of the over-exaggeration for the characters themselves, that over-exaggeration bleeds out into the rest of the story, and you see these really over-exaggerated characters having to overcome really over-exaggerated obstacles. And I think for me, in life, I feel constantly like there's so much I have to get done. There's so much that I need to do, and there's so much that I want to get done with my life, that I'm inspired when I watch someone that I relate to in their morals, which is not the over-exaggerated part, but so a character that I enjoy watching, that I want to be someone like or something like, having to overcome impossible odds. And then overcoming said impossible odds by the stereotypical getting stronger, going through hard times, training, having friends there to support them, all of these things that bleed into. And I'm the stereotypical anime watcher in the group, for sure. We all know this. We're not. This is why My Hero Academia, big shout out, is my favorite anime of all time, and I am so excited that it is on the newest season. Even though the last two episodes were a little disappointing, that's okay. We're starting out, and I don't even care. Not yet. If they go five episodes being disappointing, I'll be really sad at them. But Izuku Midoriya is the main character of My Hero, and it just falls right in line with everything that I'm talking about. 80% of the world has become superpowered whether they're superheroes now or supervillains, and you have this elite school that Izuku goes to and has to become, one, he has no superpowers in a world full of 80% of people that have powers. He's one of the very few people that just are, like, screwed. And yet, he's a good enough of a person that the strongest hero in the entire world decides to pass his powers on to him, which is unheard of. And so it's the exact right circumstance and the exact right moment, and everything falls in line. And yet, Izuku still has to overcome and learn how to control his power, and he's going through all these hard trials. And it's seeing him do those things that remind me that I'm capable of a lot more than I think I am.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, watching someone do it kind of... it has this inspirational feel to it, but what it really does is it makes you believe that you can do it too.
Yes.
And, you know, there's something I wanted to talk about a little bit further down the line, but I think this is a good point to talk about, and why, typically speaking, you find a lot of, like, outcast people that feel a little bit different. I guess they watch anime, and I wonder if that's, like, if there's a connection there, because maybe, I don't know, it was a thought that literally just came to my mind. But
I think it's a little different, actually.
Yeah?
And I think that, I mean, and you and I have a pretty good scope on it than others, just in the sense that we went and did the high school stuff. Mm-hmm. We'd go over to Campbell High School with our church and just hang out with students and talk with them. And it was the biggest surprise for me, because it was my biggest conversation starter. Hey, do you watch anime at all? And
yeah,
for the kids
true.
That
I
felt like the outliers...
Yeah,
they were. The expectation was, yeah, I watched this and that and this and that, and we got a really cool conversation going. But then we would go talk with, like, the basketball players, or people who were playing football, and they were like, "Oh, I love anime."
Yeah, I guess it is a little bit different now than when
we were younger.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like when we were in like middle school, it was like, "Oh, you watch anime? That's weird. that doesn't make that's gross. Like, that thing's so dumb and." Yeah, it was very different.
Oh, how the times have changed.
Oh, how the times have changed. I mean, I think that's a great conversation piece about anime, because it bleeds into a lot of things that we've talked about. And for me, looking back at, like, the Talk It Out episode where we talked about mental health and why depression is where it is right now, and I think a lot of people want something that is either hopeful and something that they can look to for hope, or on that opposite end, something that they can relate to. Like, someone who's really, like, a lot of this anime goes really dark. And mm-hmm. if that's something they can, like, relate to, like, they can see a character who's going through some of the same things they are, that's, like, an anchor to hold on to. Like, yeah. And something that I've always talked about in storytelling is, even if you're watching an anime, which is the most over-exaggerated, most ridiculous stuff normally, someone still wrote that story. So someone... either imagined that character having to go through those situations. And for me, the story being written, like, our brains can make that connection that there is someone who understands that person. Like, there's someone who knows what they've gone through. And, I mean, I think... the more people realize the things that they need, the things that they're wanting, I think anime, more doors have been opened for anime. Studio Ghibli alone is a huge role in that. He made things that transcended the genre, for sure. Because the normal conversation is, hey, have you ever watched anime? No. Okay, well, have you ever watched Spirited Away? Oh, yeah, I love Spirited Away. You know, like, people know Spirited Away or mm-hmm. Princess Mononoke. And I think, like, that alone opened big doors.
Yeah.
People were more willing to try something that they never thought they would try before because they enjoyed something that was different.
I think, so, let me tie that into kind of animation. And I think animation is a big point for Studio Ghibli in the sense of, like, why it
transcends.
Yes, jeez. Why it transcends, your more typical and classic, well, at least what I would understand anime as. And that's because, like, there's so much depth to the animation. Like, you go and you watch other shows, at least I've done this, and I've heard people complain about it, and it doesn't bother me as much, but when, like, they walk through a town and they just see an image of the town and the camera screen is just, like, panning to the left or to the right, and it's like, it feels weird for some people, I guess, mm-hmm. but with Spirited Away, I guess it was a good kind of, like, bridge in the sense of, like, opening up people to that style without it being all the way there. It was a good blend, a good balance, I guess.
Well, something we've always talked about with Studio Ghibli as well is the characters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously a big part as well.
And for people who don't know a lot about Studio Ghibli, and for everyone who's listening who would know a lot, I mean, if you haven't talked through this, you'll immediately recognize it. The characters, the main characters themselves, are always very normal people. People who haven't experienced the magic of the world around them or are not over the top or exaggerated at all, thrown in to these outrageous situations. And so being able to relate to the person you're watching the most, having to go through these crazy situations, your mind is more open to, okay, well, that's crazy, but this is... Yeah, I guess this is kind of what I would be like if I was in that situation.
Yeah.
And Hayao's always done such a great job of making sure that those characters are really relatable. They're not one-dimensional. They have a lot of depth to them. So it's not only that they are relatable in the sense that they're normal, but they're relatable because they actually feel like real people. So it's, to me, like, that is this beautiful blend like you're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. one, the animation itself is beautiful. That's alluring. That draws people in. But then the characters themselves are amazing to watch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Definitely. Najee?
Oh, yeah. I'm hopping in. I needed that coffee to just
yeah.
set in my soul a little bit. hope that's not urgent. But... I'm sorry, I just did that thing where I cleared my throat.
Yeah, so we've been talking about the fact that I clear my throat too much. And, you know, it's better to just air it out. I have to clear my throat right now.
Yeah.
I'm muting myself to do it.
I felt really bad.
And I'm going to see how this works.
Yep.
For all you listeners at home.
You are test subjects.
See, yours sounds so subtle compared to mine, though.
Yeah, yours.
Mine is like a powerhouse.
Dude, you like...
It sounds like there's a drill coming through a concrete wall.
Yeah.
So my cousin Andrea, shout out, was very blunt in her feedback of our podcast. This is a nice... This fits anime, right? And she told me, stop clearing your throat. And I went, oh.
Okay. Do you know how many people have, like, had their ears wrecked that are going... Thank you.
Literally, it's my number one downfall, guys and gals. I was told in a public speaking class in college that saying guys is very sexist.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It's but it's so natural.
But it's just like, I don't know. Is this where we're going?
No. This is when you'd rein the conversation back in. Yeah, this is definitely people are gonna be like, I came here for anime, so let's go back to anime.
God, that'd be such a journey if we went there.
Yeah, yeah. Future podcasts. Yeah. Like we're just thinking up ideas in the middle of.
Ooh. I definitely did want to shout out my boy Takahata, because we talk about Miyazaki a lot, and nobody talks about that guy, and they're like 50-50 partners, like. That man's a genius.
Yeah.
As much as Hayao's a genius. I actually think, looking back, I think Hayao gets more of his influence for how he does characters from Takahata. Mm. Especially if you look at Grave of the Fireflies.
You know, I was... I still haven't seen that, and I...
I have it on DVD.
Really?
I just got it.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I really wish I had seen that before this episode, but I just wasn't able to to get to it this week.
I'm going to fact check her. I really feel like I just said his name terribly wrong. But
yeah, that'd be real bad.
Wouldn't it? It'd be terrible. I'd feel so bad.
I think there's a lot of...
Nope. Actually, 100% on point. Nice. Isao Takahata. Bam.
Well done. I think there's a lot of anime that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Like what?
I mean, well, you talk about Dragon Ball Z, but I mean, you jumped the gun a little bit.
I mean, like, let's just, if we're going to go straight there, it's just you got to talk like Toonami and just got to go ahead and dump it out.
Well, what inspired a lot of our generation to watch anime? Toonami.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
A billion percent. Like, people who are our age, 28, anywhere around that age, they were watching Toonami. They were watching Tom fly his ship with his computer and intro all the different animes that you would get really excited for. Naruto, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, Big O, for all those people who get hyped just at the name Big O.
Bo-bo-bo, bo-bo-bo-bo.
Bo-bo-bo, bo-bo-bo-bo. Because
that was a show.
That was a show. You know, but like, Zatch Bell.
Zatch Bell. Sword, what's the one, the Master Swordsman, something like that? I can't remember the name of that show.
Ooh, dang. That one, I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to get it.
What's it about? I mean, obviously a Master Swordsman, but...
Rave Master, that's what it was.
Rave Master, yeah, I never watched that one. But yeah. It's funny, we sell a lot of the manga at the store I'm working at.
Yeah,
but
Rave Master was pretty dope.
Yeah, and that Shonen Jump style of anime was so prevalent in youth.
Yeah.
That by the time I picked anime back up, I started watching... So I took probably, I don't know, 5 years off. I was playing a lot of video games... Wasn't even thinking about anime, didn't watch anything. I mean, nothing. And one friend in college said, hey, man, let's watch a Naruto fight because we haven't watched it since we were younger. I said, okay, sure, why not? I'll watch a Naruto fight. So he jumps 200 episodes into Shippuden, and we watched...
Yeah, we should take this moment to say that there probably will be spoilers.
There's going
to
be a lot of spoilers.
So...
Yeah. If you're just forewarning. Yeah.
If you know you're about to spoil something, just like...
Well, no. Just
okay, I didn't know where you're going.
Blanket warning. This is a spoiler episode. So, yeah. Watch. Anyway, all right. So, we jump into a fight 200 episodes in.
Yep.
I don't even need to spoil it. And for me, seeing the depth that a show that Naruto had gone to was this whole new world of anime. Where I started to watch more Studio Ghibli, I watched all of Naruto Shippuden from that 200 episode point on, which I need to still go back and watch the previous episodes. Everything's already been spoiled for me.
Do you?
Oh, I definitely do, because that's where a lot of really big things happen that I, as a person who appreciates Naruto, need to watch. But then...
just watch Boruto.
Stop it. Get out of here. Yeah. We don't joke like that.
I'm just saying, it's literally the same thing.
Yes, but look, tell me this. If they had announced, like, they didn't need any more Naruto at all. Point blank, period. That is the winning argument here. But if they had announced that they were going all those characters older, like they had jumped from Naruto to Shippuden, now they're taking those characters older, and it got even darker, that you wouldn't be like, I'll at least give it a shot. But no, they went, we're going to do all their kids. It was automatically like, no, I don't want to watch that.
The Legend of Korra. Aang's awesome. We're going to jump 100 years into the future and kill him.
Yeah. Same concept. You're like, no, I don't want to watch these guys' kids. I've been growing up with them.
This guy.
Like,
this is who I don't care about. These people. No. I don't know who these people are. I want to watch these people.
Yeah,
these people were interesting.
You've never made that point so true for me in this moment. That was such... See? All you gotta do is correlate to something.
Boom.
Boom. Was that a pun? Correlate. Sorry.
That was really good. I hate her so much. Yes. Anyways.
Jeez.
But no, I... From there, I expanded so much and saw so much of what anime could be. It's funny, I started watching Trigun as like one of the first anime that I watched. And I got two or three episodes in, And this is when I was just searching. So all I was doing was watching all the anime on Netflix. And I watched the first, like, two or three episodes of Trigun, and I said, this is the cheesiest, most ridiculous anime I've ever watched. Jesus. Screw this. I watched everything else on Netflix, ran out of content, and went, the only thing left is Trigun. I guess I'll give it another shot. And now it's one of my favorite anime of all time. Yeah. Like, the amount of different types of anime that I've watched since the days of Toonami are vastly expanded. Mm. And I see, for me, and going back to, I think, the appeal of the over-exaggeration and getting to see characters go through such hard trials and being entertained through those trials, like, anime, and this is something we've always said, but anime has just the ability to allow creativity to go wild.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the really, really fun parts about anime, because you can't really do that with a lot of, like, Western media styles of film and whatnot. Mm-mm. Because, like, I don't know what it is, and I actually have a good point I want to make with this, because the suspension of disbelief, when you watch anime, like, you're just in it. You understand that things are exaggerated a little bit. And I don't know if that is, like, where it starts, where you're just like, yeah, you're just kind of, like, watching it. Some things are a little over the top for me, but generally speaking, like, I can watch anime and kind of get into it without, like, having that suspension of disbelief, like, anything, like, conflicting with that. But anyways, when we look at Western media, and maybe because I just watched this shamefully, but with Lion King, like the
adaptation.
Yes, the adaptation, not the classic
live action. Yeah,
well, the and the reanimated.
And this is what I want to say, because, like, the animation is cool. Like, I think it's good, but when they start, like, singing, like, it's like literally watching a lion singing. If you just, like, saw a lion out and, like, it's like, it's weird. And the mouth movement is like, you're a lion, but you have, like, Childish Gambino's voice coming out. He does not have a very intimidating voice.
No.
And I'm like,
to be fair, Simba,
it's not his fault.
Simba in the original is like,
is it?
He's got a pretty chill.
He does.
Laid back.
But like, it doesn't have a very strong presence.
But to the point of, you don't care.
When it's animated.
When it's animated.
But when it looks real.
Yeah,
when the lion looks like a real lion.
It doesn't
lion.
Match up. When it's right, a cartoon lion, it can have a chill, laid back voice, you know? Like,
it destroys the suspension. This is why live action adaptations usually don't work.
Well, and that's for, like, usually. Something like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
It works a lot better because there's only one character in there that is animated. Everyone else is real people, and it worked well. Even the things that are animated are the dishes and those being animated. It's not there's not this tension of, like, you're supposed to be intimidating.
Set expectations for how my plate is supposed to talk to me.
So right, it's okay. But a lion is supposed to just roar, and I'm supposed to be scared. You know, like, I'm supposed to poop myself. Like, yeah, it's very interesting, the differences. So, like, Aladdin, I didn't see it, but. Again, you're dealing with a lot more people, humans, that are the filler of the story.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the best scenes in Beauty and the Beast is the Gaston scene. Like, that whole scene in the live-action remake was phenomenal.
Yeah, I actually did really like Beauty and the Beast.
Me too. I loved it, but I didn't even see Lion King because I was just like, eh.
It was definitely solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just... Sorry, I wanted to be angry about Lion King for a little bit longer because I didn't even watch the whole thing, and it was just bad.
Yeah,
it was bad. Like, the only
and we don't have to talk about that. I was just making the correlation of, like, why anime works the way it does, because
I want to draw a good point here on one of the distinct separations between Western animation and Eastern. Right? Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
East. Sorry, I'm still a little tired. But like just using Lion King for an example, because it's easy. Like, typically our animation always tends to be about, well, like now, I'll say more so now, is all about making it look ultra realistic. And it's like Western animation, since it's so big on CGI, seems to struggle with fantastical ideas of like animation in a story versus what you see in Eastern animation. Like, we want to make something look like a tree, as close to a tree as possible. And then like Eastern animation is just like, this is a ladder, that's a tree. Accept it.
Accept it.
Like, okay, cool. I'm along for this ride. It feels a lot more convinced of itself. And I think that's part of the appeal of like mostly Japanese. And now China's in the game, which is a crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the appeal of the animations. It's unapologetic about what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make an effort to convince you that it's happening. It just happens. It's like you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to appease you. I'm just telling my story.
I like that. It's unapologetically is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good way to put it.
And that's why, like, that's why it's really okay for me when you have people, because you have the reality of, like, people love anime or people really hate it. And it's okay. Like, it's really, like, I'm not angry at the people who hate it. I think, you know, sometimes they can be, like, cultural swine. But sometimes.
But, to be fair, there are things in anime where I can understand if people...
Yeah, for sure. But here's the thing. And this is what I was... I think this is what we all talked about when we were sitting together talking about this episode. But the most unique and impressive thing about anime is I am confident that I can find an anime for everybody on the planet. I'm extremely confident in that fact. I'm confident that at some point, anywhere in time while animation was being made, I could find you one thing that you'll love.
So we have life examples of this.
Yeah.
Just a small note before that. My brother Tim, older brother Tim, is the last
person. This is like a very much so winning story.
Well, I'm going in a different direction than you think.
Oh.
I'm curious to know what direction you're thinking I'm going in. I think I'm going in a different direction than you think.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because this is a blanket statement. Tim is the last person in the world that I ever expect to watch anime. Oh, the story. That is a great story.
The story.
Yeah, that is a great story.
I was like,
story.
This is definitely where we're going.
You know what? That's a good... This is good, yeah. I'll actually use that example. That's even better than where I was going. Tim is the last person I'd ever expect to watch anime. We grew up, he was... Sports were... what ruled high school, and understandably so, the pressure to do, like, you know, to perform well in sports and that live in that culture. Sports are what ruled. He went to Auburn, joined a fraternity. There's zero things about Tim that screamed otaku. Isn't that what that's called?
Yeah.
Being otaku?
Otaku, I don't culture.
See, as much as I love anime, I'm not even a part of the culture fully, and this is probably a shame part on me. But we'll go back to Tim. So the story goes like this. In those moments where I was searching through Netflix for anime to watch, and I exhausted the content on Netflix at the time, this is probably 2012, Tim and I were both living at my mom's house. And day after day, Tim would come in my room. This is the story you expected, yes? Okay, great. Tim would come in my room, and he would watch me watch anime. And he would just say, how do you watch this? Like, how is this appealing? And I would just be like, I don't know, man. I just love it. And he would walk out. Until one day, Tim walked in, and in what Tim, I know, just expected to be his, like, coup de grace. Like, I am going to sit down, and I'm going to watch this stupid anime with you, and I'm going to prove to you that even after watching it, I know it's dumb. He sits down in almost a huff, and he starts to watch what's on screen. And by the time the episode ends, Tim looks back at me and he goes, are you playing the next episode? and so, and it's really actually, that's the best story to tell this because Tim, to me, is someone, again, who I never would ever expect to watch anime, to want to watch anime. And even now, after that happened, and as Tim and I have kind of grown up and experienced new things and grown individually, I know that Tim thinks anime is weird. It's very out there. It's very strange. It's not his wheelhouse, if you will. It's right. not the things that he chooses to watch on his own. But whenever the opportunity arises for Tim to watch anime with me, he always accepts, and he always has an open mind towards it. Be like Tim.
Yeah.
Listeners, be like Tim.
Yeah.
Because I've had people, I've shown people anime before, and their response is, that is literally the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. But you know what? You watch the entire thing, and it's fine. That's the weirdest thing you've ever watched.
Yeah.
Take it as you will. What does that mean to you, that that's the weirdest thing you've ever watched? Break it down a little bit. Enjoy the fact that it's the weirdest thing you've ever watched.
Yeah,
you're going to come back for more, or you're going to... That experience alone was its own experience.
Yeah.
So, and same goes for us. In anything that we would watch or experience or, you know, whatever you're experiencing, experience it with an open mind. Go in and give it its fair shot at being what it is, and unapologetically, the more unapologetically, the better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just be like Tim.
Yeah. I just want to say, # when I know your stories better than you know them.
Yeah. It's,
well done.
I don't even think I had a specific story. Oh, no. I did. But it's fine. That story was better. We don't need to go into a second one.
Cheers.
Just blue ball in the audience again.
So I think that's a good it's a good segue into, if you have any like fun stories growing up that are kind of like highlights for you, like it was for Matt, about anime. I don't know. If you have any, I think that's a good place to share.
Good highlight.
I got tons, man.
Yeah, I got a lot. Man, you know. Yeah, I'm challenging myself to not drop this name yet. And I'm going to see how long I can go without dropping it.
I mean, I want to drop it for you, but...
I know, but it's not
I already thought about dropping it for you,
it's
but...
It's not time.
No, I'm letting you do it.
It's close, but it's not time yet. It's got to be perfect.
You're just building the anticipation up.
Got to build the anticipation up. But
because when I say we have to talk about anime, obviously.
You can't not talk about this.
I was just talking about it the other day. You know, it's way worse blue-balling than what I just did? This right here.
What's happening right now? It's great. I thought we were going to ride it out for another 5 minutes, and I was really enjoying the back and forth.
we're just going to talk about what we're going to talk about, but we're not going
to
tell
actually
you.
Get to what we were going to talk about.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about things that we're going to talk about but never allude to what they actually are. That could work. Someone. There's an idea for you.
I'm trying to think of fun stories. Oh, yeah. Oh, one of my favorite stories about anime. Screw you if you say Avatar The Last Airbender is not anime. It's anime. Just accept it. Everybody else has accepted it. We've all agreed that this is a thing. Get on the train. But
I don't agree, but it's fine.
Oh, my God.
I don't agree that it's anime. I say, and I think this is a great medium.
What?
It's the closest thing to anime the West has produced.
Here's the thing. Define anime.
It is Japanese
animation.
Who animates for Nickelodeon?
Are they Japanese?
Yes.
Ooh. If they're Japanese,
and Korean.
It's like if your father was Japanese and your mother
was American, and they got together and made you're Japanese American.
Yeah, if that's the case, I didn't know if it was Japanese animators. If it's Japanese animators, like, sure. Yeah. I can agree.
Is anime.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to accept it as true anime, it captures the spirit of what anime is so well.
1,000,000%.
And one of the greatest things ever was starting to watch that show and watching it on a Saturday morning. And my dad happened to be awake. And he was paying attention. And he fell in love with this show.
Yep.
It got so... He fell more in love than I did, honestly, at the beginning. Because it got to the point where he would come home and be like, the new episode of Avatar The Last Airbender is coming on in like an hour. Are you ready? I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not busy. Like, no, no. I'm excited. It's like, all right, Dad, let's do this. We're doing this. This is like, that was like one of the coolest moments. Because my dad's like Tim, mm-hmm. where it's just like, no.
Yep.
No part ever feels like you would just be like, anime is great.
Yep.
Yeah. I have not showed him that thing yet. I almost did it.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say Korra, and I was like, we already talked about Korra, but yeah, you almost did it.
I almost did it. I caught myself. I have not showed him that thing
yet.
Damn, that was a solid catch, too.
See, I think, okay, the reason why that podcast would work is because, you know, and all I can think of is the meme, or the meme now. Are videos called memes still? Like, a meme is a picture with words, but then what are the animated... GIF. Not GIFs, because
no,
but like ones that actually have
GIFs
sound.
GIFs are looped photos, so I don't know
like
what the upgrade
Vine,
is.
Almost?
I think people call them memes. Anyway, this is I'm 28. Hi, how's it going? I'm a little out of the loop. So anyway, in Pokemon, in the in-between, when they have, who's that Pokemon? Why is that appealing? Because you feel like when you get it, you know what you're talking about. You are an expert of this Pokemon. If there was an entire podcast dedicated to here's the topic that we're going to tell you we're going to talk about without actually telling you what it is, and then by the end of the episode, you tell the audience what the topic is, the entire episode would feel like you'd have... It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
What are they trying to talk about?
Yeah, that's
based
fair.
On, like... Could you get it? Could you get it from that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's great. Someone make this podcast because you're going to be
down.
Successful.
I like
I'm going
like
to be sad when they're more successful than we are because of this.
That would be sad. You better name drop us.
Yes. This originated from Up and Out Studios across the table. Go listen to them, please.
Oh.
But. No. Sorry.
Yeah. But, I haven't made him watch that yet.
Yes.
It's crazy. I'm very scared too.
Yeah, fair.
Because like I make this joke all the time about dating. We're like, if she doesn't love this, we can't be together. Which is like half a joke. Actually like 20% a joke.
Yep.
But my dad is somebody whose opinion matters like deeply to me. And if he were to come and rip that apart, there would be a rift in our relationship.
here's the thing. You just gotta do it.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, I'm confident that is gold, and the only people who don't like it are people who don't understand. And it's like, I don't know
especially
how you
the
can.
Movie.
Yeah, I don't know how you can't like it. I genuinely...
We were just talking about it at work
yesterday. I've tried to compute it in a lot of different ways, and I'm just, I don't know, bro.
The people who talked about it at work literally said the same thing. Like, if you can watch this and not cry in these moments, you're not human. Like, you're not, and it's absolutely 100%.
It's one of the most human things I've ever seen. That's what I love about it so much.
Oh, last episode, man. That's what we talked about.
Oh, dude.
And just everything about that entire last episode.
Yeah.
Is one of the most appealing, most emotional, most incredible depictions of what anime can convey.
Mm.
Ah, so good. And it is one of the least over-the-top animes.
It is.
It is very grounded in more reality than most animes are. And
funny
that's
enough,
what's awesome.
Maybe that's the appeal factor.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, I think it's interesting that we call Avatar The Last Airbender the closest thing to anime in the U.S., I would call that thing the closest thing to something that, like, the West would create.
American.
So this is your biggest hint to the audience right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's the biggest hint.
That and the idea of the last episode.
Right? Yeah.
That's a pretty big hint for people who know what it is. Oh, hello.
Just say it. I really do. I think it's interesting, like, those two things are swapped. And that's why I'm just dropping all types of hints. If you don't get it at this point, when I'm finishing rolling through this conversation, you don't know enough anime. But
which is okay.
Yeah.
Be Tim.
But that's why it's why I said I feel like you jumped the gun a little bit, because this thing is what opened the door. Because it was the first like anime thing that got a big block spot on
Toonami. Yeah.
And it's what opened the door even for, like, Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that to run through. Come to find out, though, interesting fact, small tangent. America was pretty late to the anime game compared to everybody else around us. So I found out recently, anime was huge in Mexico.
Really?
In, like, the late 70s, moving into the 80s. So big, in fact, that they created their own original called Saint Seiya.
That's
a Mexican anime.
Interesting.
Right?
That's crazy. A Mexican anime like Naruto is an American anime.
Right.
Okay.
So it's crazy. But they, like, and then Canada's been in it.
What do you mean that Naruto's an American
anime? I mean, I said Naruto. I meant to say Avatar. You knew what I meant.
I knew exactly what you meant.
And you were like, yes, I agree. And you didn't even listen to anything.
It's crazy because I was like, we all agreed that Naruto was American? Like, that's, when did we agree on that? That is really far off.
Jeez.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, Mexico's on the train. Canada was on it pretty early on, too. Like, they had, I think they were running Sailor Moon before we ever got close to even thinking about having it. So, where was I going with that point? I was going in a place.
Couldn't tell you.
I know. Damn. It was a really good point I was going to make there. America was late to the party. I'm so sorry. So sorry, podcast.
But what's really happening is this is just another topic that you're going to talk about that you're talking about. We're doing the episode right now.
Are you really listening? No.
All right. You going somewhere?
I'll come back to it. Okay. I know there was
let's talk about something
there was
else.
A solid point there, but I lost it for a second.
So stories.
Yes.
Story time. That's copyright. Is that copyright? There's no way he got that entire.
I don't know.
Inflection.
You're talking about the guy from from Vine?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, if we're demonetized for that, we'll be demonetized. It's fine. So, my dad, on the opposite end of the spectrum, well, on the opposite end and then on the same vein, the first anime I ever watched, we all know this here, but was Princess Mononoke. I was in Movie Gallery in Smyrna. Next to Publix, shout out to all my Smyrnians. I don't know what you'd say there. I don't know. I'm at a loss. And walking around, looking at movies, VHS. This is old school.
Is this the Blockbuster? Are you at?
Movie Gallery was our Blockbuster.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever went to Movie Gallery.
And going through and looking, and I see. The cover of Princess Mononoke is main character, which name is?
I just wanted to say Akira, and I knew how wrong that was. Yeah. Like, I just got mad in my brain.
Okay, I'm going to look it up while I'm doing this. But anyway, main character's on the front with, like, a lightsaber is what it looks like. For whatever reason, they depict his sword shimmering.
It does.
And so it looks like this lightsaber. And I'm like, I look at my dad, and I say, Dad? This is the movie I want to rent. And the actual look of disappointment on his face. I can remember. Because he looked at me and said, are you sure?
Not this one.
Yeah, he goes, are you sure that's the one you want? And I was like, yes, Dad. I know that this is what I want to watch. So we go home. And I'm like, Dad, are you going to watch it with me? He's like, I guess. And we watched the entire movie. And when I tell you, my entire world was opened up. Like, I was so much more aware of the type of content and media that was going to drive my life. Go ahead. What's his name? You didn't look it up?
Oh, yes. Ashitaka.
Ashitaka.
Sorry. I was thinking of San the entire time. I'm like, no, that's like...
Yeah. So, yes, Ashitaka on the front. And I look at my dad... having the feelings that I'm feeling. And he says to me, this is the first time I ever heard it. That was the weirdest thing I have ever watched. But it wasn't I had an open mind to it, and no. It was still the weirdest thing. It was, that was the weirdest thing I've ever watched. I will probably never watch anything like that ever again. I don't know why. I just spent the last hour and a half watching this. And I knew it. And I went, wow. I don't know how two people can be on such different pages. Mm. Especially for something so beautiful. But then, Samurai Jack came out. And my dad was like, hey, are you watching, are you going to watch Samurai Jack? And I remember we sat down and watched the first episode together, and it was like, who are you? Is this how life is going to be now? Does this continue?
There's hope for the future.
Yeah. So this is my dad's story of anime.
It's extremely interesting to think about. What's the difference between Samurai Jack and Princess Mononoke? Where you can have the draw to Samurai Jack, but feel that Princess Mononoke is really weird. Because, like, Samurai Jack's...
To be fair, I can see why.
Samurai Jack's pretty freaking strange.
It is pretty freaking strange. It's, you know what,
but
though?
But it takes place in, like, modern, like, a city, for the most part.
Well, my dad really likes sci-fi. Like he really likes sci-fi. So the idea of, like, aliens and worlds and different people and technology advancing and stuff like that, to him is a lot more relatable. So that alone... But I'll tell you what doesn't. There's one scene. There's one scene to me that stands out in Princess Mononoke, and not that there's not 50 others that I immediately think of. But the first time you see the deer god's face, like, you see him from afar, and you're like, that's kind of magical. And then you come up to his face, and it's like that weird red nose human face.
Visually haunting.
It is visually disturbing. It really is, and it's a little hard for people who aren't ready.
While simultaneously still being beautiful. It was a really interesting scene. I like that scene a lot.
Oh, me too.
Very intentional.
And especially the older I get, the more I appreciate it, but people who aren't ready for it, that scene has got to be one of the weirdest things they ever see.
That scene is a dank meme. It really is. That scene is a dank meme. Like, you've been watching this film the entire time, you're invested, and then you just get memed. You get memed real hard in the face with a weird face, dear guy. God.
Dear God.
Oh. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I think it's very interesting.
It absolutely is. It comes down to different people. Mm-hmm. And it always will, always has. Because I love My Hero as my favorite anime of all time, and you couldn't even get through the first season.
No,
you got through the first season.
I got through the first season.
And then you didn't want to watch anything after that.
I just didn't want to watch anything after.
And I'm like, I can't fathom that you're just not fully invested in it. But we're different people.
See, for me, it's that character type. It's just, I just don't character type. Which is something that we can jump into a little bit. I don't know if that was in your notes or not.
Well, it kind of... So I wrote down, like, some of the main character traits for, like, for that style of anime or that genre of anime. And they're all, like, I don't want to say they're, like, cookie cutter, you know, like, they're... But sometimes it can feel like that. And it's like, yeah, and this is why I made, before we started recording, this is why I said Goku is the LeBron James...
Michael Jordan.
Of anime. No, because Michael Jordan made you want to watch basketball. LeBron James has the opposite effect for me.
Oh, interesting.
Because he changed it to where it was... I mean, I don't want to get into the NBA because it's not what... The essence of what
Welcome
LeBron James has done.
Anime podcast.
Yep.
/ NBA.
Yep. Cheers. And it's just...
Okay, I can see that. I misunderstood your correlation before started recording.
And so it just...
So you're saying Goku made you stop wanting to watch?
No. Seeing the same character as Goku in other animes is what is the frustrating part.
So then Goku was the Michael Jordan, and all the ones that have come after are the LeBron James.
I mean, it's a lot of LeBron Jameses.
Look. Goku's definitely Kobe.
I mean, Kobe's my favorite, so.
But he's no Jordan.
Who's Jordan, then?
We know who Jordan is.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely Jordan.
Okay.
100%.
But if we're talking about that archetype, that one is very different.
Well, not for the archetype. I meant like for anime.
No, no, yeah, and we're talking about the archetype though.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the archetype.
Okay, fair enough. But no, the archetype of Goku is so one dimensional.
Yeah,
and it is scary.
And in all honesty, like I don't want to hate. I love Dragon Ball Z, and I
do too. I watch Super. I never thought I'd watch Super.
I remember when I was younger, I was doing the Comica, you know, the Comica. Yeah. Anyways,
maybe it should be called Comica.
Comica.
It
sounds a mix of Kamehameha and Hanukkah. Comica.
This is the Jewish Kamehameha.
Comica.
Oh God! I can't.
I was gonna make so many terrible jokes. I can't
handle it right now.
I had to stop.
We gotta start translating things into their like respective languages, but it's not actually a different language.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Cheers.
That was bad.
Anyways,
yep.
I'm not trying to diminish those stories or stories with those character types because they're great. I mean, they are. For generally speaking, but you get like this, it's like the same character development. They're always relying on the, you take Attack on Titan, for example, and what's the main character?
Eren Yeager.
He's well, more so, that's not the character, I was talking about Mikasa.
I love how you said it.
Mikasa.
It's
Mikasa.
Mikasa, but
yeah.
It is.
I mean, that's how I always remembered it.
Mikasa.
This is a Japanese anime here in America.
I guess you have to say Spanish. It like...
This is... That is how layered Attack on Titan is.
Yes. Mikasa.
Anyways, what's the... is it Eren Yeager? He's the main character?
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped watching after the first season.
Same.
Just... I liked it, and I want to go back and watch it. I just haven't done it yet. It's been
come watch season 4 with me.
Season 4?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know they were on season 4.
I know.
Yeah, it's got a crazy.
Anyways, to kind of like finish my train of thought, you have Eren, and then he's like the hot-headed character. Is like,
mm-hmm.
I'm always going to go in and try and save the day, even though I know that it's a bad idea and it will probably get me killed. And then you have.
Well, here's.
Mikasa!
Here's what's really crazy.
Come in and like,
though,
have to save him. Every
what
time.
What you should more accurately say is that Goku and Vegeta are Jordan and Pippin. Because mm-hmm. both of those archetypes always exist together in an anime.
Naruto
literally
and Sasuke.
Everywhere that you go, those two characters exist in an anime. Even, like.
I love Vegeta too.
In Attack on Titan, like you said, in Naruto, in My Hero, like mm-hmm. there's always mm-hmm. the duel. I've never seen one alone in an anime before.
And people vary it up. I mean, even in The One.
Yeah.
Which The One is not an anime. The One is nodding to the,
somebody's on Google right now. Like,
what is The One?
They finally
no,
said
no, no, no. This is the anime that we've yet to.
So
name.
That's what we're officially going to call the
The One,
the anime that. Has yet to be disclosed.
The name that shall not be named.
Is it Voldemort?
is it Voldemort? Oh, anime, when you start getting into the archetypes, I mean...
And I get it, like, it's everyone's kind of cup of tea.
Well, the archetypes are the archetypes. So even when you look at storytelling, the hero's tale... is an entire book dedicated to breaking down what the archetypes of storytelling are in general. So every story is going to have its archetypes and its things that it sticks to and the things that make it work. And I think for me, Goku is harder and harder to watch the older I get.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in watching Super, I mean, I just watched that. I watched that last year. Maybe, I think, something like that. And I honestly did not care about Goku the entire time. There were a couple of really cool moments that I went, okay, that was cool. That is reminiscent of what I remember loving watching as a kid, and it's cool to feel that. But I loved Master Roshi.
Yeah.
I loved all the, like, I loved Vegeta way more than I did. I only loved Goku when I was younger.
No.
But I loved Vegeta now because there's more dimension to his character than there is to Goku's. He's like dealing with being a father on a level that is, and like having to overcome his evil desires still and all this stuff. Goku is just, I save
the
world.
Same decision every time.
I get stronger every single time.
Yeah.
And so these shows that, yes, are using that archetype, are improving upon that archetype and letting it be a character who has that drive.
That's fair.
Who's challenged in his desire to want to continue to do those things. So, like, for me, Izuku is like, this is who I'm going to be. I am going to be the hero that saves the world. And every episode is something that completely tears him down, that he's got to work through, or every season is something that tears him down, that he's got to work through to say, why is it that I want to be this? And is it worth it to keep going?
That's more appealing to me.
And that's good. That is a really solid argument. But funny enough, it highlights why I can't watch it.
Yeah.
It's why like I struggle with it. Because I personally, I cannot relate to the idea of wanting to be a hero.
Yeah.
That's a strange concept to me.
It's all I do.
Yeah.
It's all I want.
And that's largely...
Unashamedly.
Yeah. Largely, a lot of it has to do with like my own cynicism. And so... It's like, especially in shows, you're like, I want to be your hero to save the world. Like, that's not the real reason you want to be a hero. Sure, this show is trying to say that's the real reason. But if you do a full psychological breakdown of why you want to be a hero, it's for very selfish reasons. 100%. And I don't know. Like, that's what my mind does.
But see now.
Like.
The really hard question. As long as you've known me and as much as you know me. Am I purely selfish in my desire to be a hero?
Definitely not purely. Yeah. But you acknowledge.
I do acknowledge that it's there.
Yes.
That there's a selfish part of it.
That's the difference. It's the whole, like, it's the All Might.
Okay.
Like, it's.
So here's the question then, in this, because this is interesting to me. I don't know if it'll be interesting to you people who are listening, but it's interesting to me because I want to know more about you. Is there an anime where that archetype exists that is portrayed in that way, that you have enjoyed? I want to be the hero, but it actually goes into how it's kind of selfish.
I'm sure there is.
I have the name. It's right there. It wasn't the best anime I've ever seen, but it did do this really well. It's literally about a dude. Okay, hold on. Come on, brain. I'm going to get this. I think I watched the first episode with you. There's a dude who eats a lot. It's like one of the biggest pranks. Like he literally
is
like
Goku.
He like the first episode he downs like 20 bowls of ramen or whatever.
Oh, Darker Than Black.
No, it's not Darker Than Black.
He does do that though, right?
He does do that.
Maybe not in the first episode.
But basically in this show, this dude's like, I can't remember if he is a reformed thief or he's a detective or whatever, what have you. Basically, he's like the man. But he's a goofball. And he talks about always wanting to be the hero, so to speak. Like, a lot of it has to do with women. There's always, like, being the knight in shining
armor. Yeah, we did not watch this.
So, we definitely did. So I know we did. I know for sure that we did. We watched the first episode, and I think you hated it. But
my analysis of the situation right now is you're blue-balling yourself.
I am.
Because you have blue-balled the audience.
Yeah.
Now.
It's just
karma. Instant.
Exception. Ballception.
Maruchan karma. I'm so excited that knee is to take off. Can we replace instant with Maruchan?
Jeez.
Oh, instant ramen, come on. It's
That's
perfect.
Really good. That is really good. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, come
I'm
on.
I'm on board. I'm
come
definitely
on.
On board.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's not, okay.
I don't remember the name of the show, but that was one that was done really well because... What they would constantly do in the show. And like I said, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a very good show. But what he constantly used to do is, like, brag about being a hero, but also brag about the fact that it's like, I'm only a hero because it gets me A, B, C, D. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. I've never, like, seen that in a show before. I really like that.
Yeah.
And I either can vibe with that or I can vibe with the guy who, like, is doing everything in his power to not be a hero. Consistently winds up in situations where he makes heroic things happen, and he's irritated by them.
That's a good example is the that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Yeah.
He's just trying to just do things.
Oh, my God. That's why I like that show so very much.
Absolutely.
He's literally just like...
What's cool about that one is he kind of, I don't know, evolves into that role.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the end of the show, he's starting to become more heroic and desire those things, but it's you saw the progression to get there.
Yeah.
And so you see the motivation for... Or Saitama is also. One Punch Man is the best
really great.
Depiction of... It's why we love it. Because really, it makes really fun of Goku.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I have a question for you as well.
Yep.
And I actually have questions for both of you.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yours I can explain.
Special.
I was going to ask you, Jacob, why you enjoyed Hunter x Hunter. Mm-hmm. But it's because you enjoy Kurapika and Killua a lot more than you enjoy Gon.
Well...
But it's not to say I don't think you dislike Gon.
No, I don't.
But I don't think... You're not as bothered by Gon because equal amounts of time are spent on those other characters that are a lot
like
depth.
He is the main protagonist, but I really enjoy getting the depth of story from other characters.
Yeah.
Well,
he's also a kid, too.
Which I think...
Which there's that innocence you get to believe in. Like,
yeah. It does... It helps. It helps, mm-hmm. Yeah. It really does. It
definitely helps.
Really interesting.
It really helps.
For you, is it wrong to pick up Girls in the Dungeon? You said you'd watch the second season with me, but man, if I've ever seen a Goku character, it is Bill. He is the most naive, like, I am going to be strong. I guess... I'm rewatching it right now, so that's mm-hmm. why it's so prevalent on my brain. But he's not trying to be the hero. The hero. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to be an adventurer.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
And the people he meets along the way. So I think that's the distinction. Is I'm glad that I'm really happy that I asked you guys a question and answered for you.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, cheers. Solid. It was impressive.
I was my brain was just moving along as it went. But the distinction there is Goku's boring. Because we can assume he's going to be the hero. And I think that's why the Cell Saga was at least interesting.
Yeah.
Because he dies and Gohan gets to step up, and you don't necessarily mm-hmm. expect Gohan to be the one to step up and do it.
Yeah.
So you get really excited that Gohan is like, oh my God, this innate power is really cool. But it gets boring assuming that Goku's going to be the one that saves the day. Over and over and over again.
Like, one of my favorite parts of Dragon Ball Z was Broly.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
And a lot of people's.
Yeah, it was just really satisfying seeing him get his ass kicked so bad.
Yeah?
He was just like, wow. I also love Broly. Broly was the character for me. Like, if the whole anime was about Broly, I would have been a very happy person.
Yeah.
His story is so interesting. Although, granted, his first origin... Like, his first appearance was pretty... That was a stretch. I was a kid and I accepted it, but it was a stretch. He was like, why are you here trying to destroy my planet? Because when we were children, you didn't allow me to sleep because you screamed a lot.
Yes.
So I'm going to destroy your planet. He's like, that's an escalation that might be a little bit unnecessary. Maybe talk it out first.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
Anime.
Yes. Yep. Only in anime can you get away with something
well,
like that.
Well, see, I think that's the thing that has evolved, right? Like, I was talking with someone at work who is trying to watch Dragon Ball Z, and he says he has really bad OCD, and he cannot watch things out of order. He can't play video games out of order, so, like, he's playing through the Assassin's Creed series, right? This is JL.
I'm so sorry.
He says he can't play through the Assassin's Creed out of order, so he's got to play... Well, he loves the series, so he's fine. He loves everything about it. He's enjoying it, really.
There's some hard steps in that.
Yeah. But he's watching Dragon Ball.
Wow.
Because he can't watch things out of order. And he said he's so angry, because in Dragon Ball, right in the beginning, within the first 12 episodes... You have them go collect the Dragon Balls, and Krillin asks this almighty being who can grant any wish you ask. Krillin asks for a pair of girls' panties. And he's like, you're telling me that you are describing this impossible process of collecting these Dragon Balls. They do it within the first 12 episodes. Already is already like, okay, well, that wasn't that impossible.
Yeah.
You get it there, and all you ask for is a pair of girls' panties. Like, the evolution there is that I would say the same way more Westerners now...
You have to experience that as a that show, not that moment.
Yes, with that show as a kid, for sure.
As a kid. And that's why people love it so much, and that's why they continue to watch it.
Yeah.
Not because it's, like, spectacular.
Yeah. But the evolution here is that Westerners now are more open to the idea of the suspension of disbelief and what that can bring, where Easterners are more open to the idea of what depth and maturity can bring, and those two things are melding in a way that you're seeing stuff like Avatar be produced.
Well, here's the most interesting thing, though. So I was having this conversation with... Who was I talking to? Oh, no. Somebody at work. Sorry, person at work. His name I cannot remember right now.
They won't know. Well, yeah, they will.
They definitely will, because they're going to remember the conversation we had. It's we were talking about Joker. Mm-hmm. And we were going to segue into this at some point. I'm not going to go too deep. Yeah. But
yeah, we got to have our own episode for
that. This is going to have its whole own episode. But we were talking about Joker, and I was just talking about Joaquin Phoenix's his performance and how well he did. And he brought up this really interesting point. He's saying, like, these days, you can't just act crazy anymore. You have to actually be it. Mm. Like, and I was like, okay, well, like, let's unpack that. Let's talk about that a little bit. And he's talking about how we've become so desensitized to a lot of things that, or maybe I was watching an interview. It might be an interview. We've become so desensitized to a lot of things that now, in order for anything to be appealing for people to watch, it has to dig into, like, the most real possible thing. Oh, it was Hot Ones. Mm. Idris Elba talked about this. It was really good.
Interesting.
Because he was getting to the discussion about celebrity and all that, and he was like, or basically he got asked, he was like, what do you think is the biggest struggle in movies right now? He's like, reality television killed movies for us. Mm. I was like, oh, cool. Like, what do you mean by that? And he was getting into this idea of, like, why would I go and watch somebody act and pretend to have a breakdown when I can watch somebody actually have a real breakdown with real consequences. And I think when he was talking about that, it made me think about how we have been creating media over the past few years and how you can see that translated even in anime itself. It's like we've taken this tone where shit just has to get really, really real all the time. Like that's the most appealing thing to do. Like, and to your point, like when you were talking about Joker, that's why Joker as a movie exists. It's the culmination. It's the buildup. It's the peak.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been like. That's kind of like my main analysis on it is we've, as a society, been building to like wanting darker and darker. And I guess you could exchange that word and say more real
yeah.
and honest emotions, at least in our villains and even in our heroes. Like those characters.
Yeah. And that's what I think, like, coming back to anime, I think part of the reason anime is so popular right now, too, is how uncensored it is. Mm-hmm. In every way, shape, and form.
Yeah.
Anime does not have a filter. It's like reality TV for Americans.
Hmm. That's super interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a super interesting way to look at it. Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that in inviting people to a place where the suspension of disbelief is so high, you're able to speak to a lot more topics a lot easier.
Yeah.
People are more willing to invest into these ideas and entertain these ideas as they come up in these shows because you're already open to it. Yeah. You've already allowed yourself to be open to the craziness you know you're about to watch, like Gurren Lagann, where they're throwing cosmos at each other like ninja stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
You're open to these ideas. You're definitely going to be open to the ideas of weighty, hard topics
yeah.
that you wouldn't... It wouldn't be as easy to be open to in other places. So, like, Joker, for me, the performance was so outstanding. And the tone was so real across the board that by the end of the movie, you're kind of dumbstruck with how open you were to letting yourself be in that place.
Mm, yeah.
And I think it does such a good job of setting the tone to say, I'm gonna walk with you through this really, really hard topic, step by step. Mm. So that you, by the end of it, can be as open as you possibly can to the really, really hard things I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Because if it was hokey or cheesy, corny in any way, you would have been stuck on that.
Yeah.
More so that by the end of the movie, you'd be like, yeah, I didn't really like this part, but I get what it was saying. It was real, and it was slow, and it was steady all the way through. And by the end of the movie, you went, I just went on a ride that I was not ready to go on.
Yep.
Even as much as I was prepared for it, as people told me about. Because I sat and told myself going into this movie, I have to be careful. Because when someone depicts losing their mind, losing their sanity on screen, it really messes me up. I told myself that multiple times, and I was so unprepared.
Yeah. And it's something that's interesting to think about. So, like, everybody's been, critics have been split like 50-50 about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious at the response to that if it was animated. Exact same performance, exact same script. Everything completely unfolds the same way that it does in the movie. What's the response to it if it was animated?
Great question.
Like, what difference would that bring?
Yeah. It's a phenomenal question.
I'm tempted to say that everybody would be like, oh, that was phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the animation, right?
Right.
Because if it's...
That's the interesting part about animation.
Yeah.
Because the actual art is almost as important to the story as the characters.
It is 100% as important.
And that's one of the cooler aspects about anime because your line, April, you remember when... I can't remember the main character.
Kosuke.
When he is... Thank you. When he's, like, really down and sad. Like, the art... it portrays
colors,
that.
Yeah.
Like, and you made the observation, like, his eyes get gray and, like, I guess they're blue, right?
Yep.
They're blue, but when he's, like, really sad, it makes it that much more immersive.
Yeah.
And the colors literally give it depth to the story, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think it's to the point of, like, it's art. I think the reason we can accept things in animation and not in real life is because it's art.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, art is, like, the Wild Wild West. You can do whatever the hell you want in art. Art is completely free range. And so I think watching something as mad as the Joker is, but in animation, thinking about even some of those scenes that you look at, doing that in an artistic form
mm-hmm.
is so much easier to accept. Like, I have a hard time not thinking that I would have had an easier time in that film if it was animated.
Yeah. Sure.
Because even, like, the Killing Joke, which is, like, 25% of the Killing Joke is basically what all of the Joker is about.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Killing Joke is, like, pretty messed up.
Mm.
But it didn't mess me up like that. Like, I got to tell you as a scene. Are you okay with this?
Mm.
Okay, cool. Because you just got to know this scene. The best part of Killing Joke, right? So Batman and Joker have basically been going at it this whole time. And what's really powerful about the end of this movie is they both arrive at this point where they're like, okay, one of us has to die. Like, one of us is going to have to die. Like, we're both getting to that point where we can't play the cat and mouse game anymore.
Mm.
And this is going to escalate. And so Batman basically tries to de-escalate that and step in and like invite Joker to just like be okay. Mm-hmm. And the Joker kind of has resolved. It's like, I'm far beyond the point that I can ever be drawn back in again. And the Joker tells us this joke. He was talking about two prisoners escaped from a psychiatric facility, and they had to jump across a building to get there. And the first guy gets across and uses the flashlight to shine the light on the second guy on the other side of the building. And the other guy's scared to jump. And the first guy says, just walk across the beam, the light beam, and you'll make it. And then the second guy goes, but I'm terrified you'll shut the light off halfway through. Mm. And he just loses it. Joker just starts laughing. And then Batman, like, finally just, like, lets loose and starts laughing, right? And it's fading. The scene fades to, like, the Batman, like, holding Joker's shoulders. And you hear them both laughing. And it pans down. And they're both laughing. And then it's just Batman laughing. And then the screen fades to black.
Mm.
That was one of the most haunting endings I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, and what was crazy about it was what I first interpreted as Batman laughing with Joker at the joke, I then interpreted as, no, I think he just reached the Joker's level in that moment. Hmm. He had a literal psychotic break. I think he had a psychotic break because he couldn't fix the Joker. No matter what he did, like, he reached his wit's end. And for him to kill, end with, I'm assuming he killed the Joker.
Yeah.
Was like, wow. Haunting. Easier to swallow than Joker, though.
Yeah. Because it's cartoons you've grown up with, mm-hmm. you know? It's characters you've grown up, I know. I understand. Yeah, that's honestly actually beautiful. The right. fact that its title is called The Killing Joke,
right.
and it's phenomenal.
There's so many layers to that.
So yeah. many layers.
But I think the having to watch what you know is a story, but that feels like the neighbor that you know lose their mind and be so mistreated and get to the point where they cause such chaos. The realness of that is what makes it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when it's, the concept is equally as haunting in both, but fictional characters versus someone that you really feel like, man, I know this person.
Yeah.
Or even the thought of, like, who is this in my life?
Mm.
Like, because someone's going through this. Someone, even if it's not in my life, someone is actually going through this and is feels the way that he feels. It's not just, man, that was a screwed up way to kill the animated Joker character that I grew up with. That's crazy. You really start to have to face reality with Joaquin's performance. Like,
yeah.
Someone's going through that. And what am I doing about it? What's going, like, for people who have any kind of moral compass, it's hard.
Yeah.
So, I want to get back to anime,
yes.
but I have like my final analysis, well, at least summed up of the Joker and why, in all honesty, it's like, it's the whole series of Batman that we've gotten and the whole series of Joker that we've gotten. And there's like the old saying where it's like, you have two sides to you. You have your consciousness on your right and left shoulder. You have the good, the bad, and they're both talking to you. And then you have kind of like, there's a really cool saying, and I'm going to just paraphrase it because I don't know it exactly. But you have this image of two wolves, and one of them is like the light and like the good, and this other one is the dark, and it's like it represents the, like, the little devil on your shoulder, I guess. It's the parallel. And it's you look at that and you go, whichever one you feed more is the one that, like,
yeah.
will prevail. And in all honesty, like, the Joker and the Batman are like this super, super long story that we've gotten to see over the past decade plus, or about a decade, I guess. And in essence, that's what it is. Because you have Batman, who is like this really righteous character, which is, you know, what we want to feed our like consciousness with that, or our psyche with that, because it, you know, makes us a better person. But then in the other side, we have the Joker, and it's kind of all the things we kind of want to say and want to do, and like, I don't know. Anyways, to sum it up, I just thought that, just thinking back on it and looking at it from that perspective, it's such a beautiful story, because we can understand both sides now. And that's really, like, if this movie, The Joker, had come out before any of those other movies, it might not be as good.
No.
It could be the same movie,
yeah.
But because we have an understanding of the whole story, you're just like, wow. Anyways, I know we started talking about Joker.
It's really good. That's why it happened.
But anyways, moving on back to anime. I want to let's see, where do I want to go back to? So we've all talked about, I guess, our fathers at some. Well, I guess I haven't, but I'll briefly touch on that. I've wanted to get my dad into anime, and he here's the thing, his humor. Like, is very much so, like, he doesn't like the humor, I guess, in anime, of, like, the over-exaggeration, because he's not accustomed to that style.
Yeah.
And so it makes it really weird to introduce him to anime. Even, like, great stories, he'll lose his attention if they just do something. And Full Metal Alchemist is the one that I, like, got him to...
I figured that's what you were thinking.
I got him to sit down and actually watch an episode or two, and it's hard because it's such a great story. And I'll say Brotherhood, so that people know what we're talking about. But anyways, I kind of want to talk about how would we get our fathers into anime, and not necessarily that we have to, but it can like represent into like people who don't know what anime is. Like, what are good animes to start with, and what are, like, good expectations, and how does one become like Tim?
I was just going to say.
Well, so I think it's interesting. So one of the best ways you can tackle figuring out what anime to show somebody first is figuring out how they watch media, if that makes any sense. So you have, like...
Well, that's the thing.
Well, you have... Yeah, it's very similar to it in the way that the way you like your coffee is the way you're going to like your cigar. The same kind of principle works with anime. The reason you watch any form of entertainment is going to help me dictate what anime is going to work best for you. So, like, you don't show Darker than Black to somebody who literally just watches entertainment as an escape. So typically,
and,
like, comedy.
And that's exactly what my dad says. Well, that's he really enjoys, like, the Marvel series, and just, like, that style of storytelling, because he can kind of escape reality for a little bit.
And
he
can,
he can kind of use that world as a way to live, I don't know, maybe vicariously through it for a moment and just kind of be in that story. And he's told me that before, and I look at it and go,
but
that's what anime, that's like, almost, that's where anime like starts, almost, is like kind of going into another world.
Yeah.
More so than Western media does anyways.
There's a reality though, that the stuff even you and I tend to watch, stuff you and I
it's a little bit more niche.
It's very, very, a lot of depth. There's no light watching there. at all, but yeah, I think that's the best way to like even to begin to tackle. So like, I know my dad would love Darker than Black, because my dad is somebody who loves to sit and contemplate deep things and discuss them. So Darker than Black is like a great show because it's gonna pose a lot of questions, whereas Dragon Ball Z, I'm pretty sure he'd break the TV. He's like, this is the most worthless 20 minutes of my life I've ever spent doing anything. I watched a guy fight a guy, get angrier, get stronger, beat the guy. Rinse and repeat.
Yes.
What's the point of the show? That's, I know not to try and show my dad Dragon Ball Z. It's not going to hit at all. Like, so I think it really is like getting a feel for that. And just on the topic, it's our dads. So it's like, what do we know about our dads that our dads like love and that they hate?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess I've just always had this idea in my head where I just really kind of wanted my dad to get it. I mean, I don't even watch all of the anime. There's a lot of stuff I don't watch.
It brings a good point to my mind, though. People who love anime have to stop trying to make people love their anime. That is a mistake I think people make when they bring people in to animation for the first time. Because we always want to be like, all right,
I mean,
this is the best thing ever made. Yeah. This is the best thing ever made. You're going to love this. This is going to be perfect. And then the person's like, well, I didn't like it. I was like, okay, you didn't understand it. So let me just show it to you one more time. And then I think you got to just open the door. Definitely present something and let it open the door. But don't force your anime ideals onto the next person. Let it unfold naturally.
You're talking about something way deeper than anime, my friend.
Yeah.
That, if we could adopt that concept outside of anime or our favorite fill-in-the-blank entertainment, we would be a much better society.
It's true.
Yeah. I've experienced a couple moments with my dad. Samurai Jack was one of them. That was one that he came to me with. Attack on Titan was one that my dad was very interested in.
Mm.
We actually, and Judy watched it with us. I don't know if she was interested in it. Judy is my stepmom. And she watched every episode that we watched, though, so I don't know where she stood on it. But my dad was like, okay, yeah, I'll watch the next one. I'm curious, because I think the anime itself is very, it's very out there in its concept. And I think that is appealing to him because it's not out there in the sense that it's just out there to be out there.
Yeah.
It's out there, but it's pretty grounded in its own rules.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like it decided this was the world. And then it stuck really well to that being the world. It didn't just get crazy. Like, Dragon Ball Z just breaks its own world all the time.
All the time.
It's like, this is how strong you can get. Oh, well, he got stronger. And now everything else is stronger because of it, you know?
Yeah.
So Attack on Titan was really interesting because it was very grounded in what it was.
Yeah.
And I think the creative nature of what it was and what it is, it was appealing enough for my dad to entertain watching it. I don't think he loved it. But then I also showed him the first episode of One Punch Man, and he laughed, like genuinely laughed. And it's funny because he laughed at something that I snickered at, and his laugh was not fueled by how ridiculous anime is. It was just a laugh because that's pretty funny. It's random and really funny. Whereas I'm laughing at One Punch Man because I'm like,
the references.
Every reference to Dragon Ball Z and all these different ridiculous anime and like the long, drawn out, like, my name is blah, 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 and I've come from the planet blah, 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 and this is why I've come here to. And Saitama just killing him because he's like, shut up, stop talking. And that thing makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah,
my dad was just like, watch that with like a blank face, you know? And
every time. That makes me laugh. Every time.
So, it always, always comes down to 1,000,000%. And it's what you said, I don't know, however long ago in this conversation, but there's always an anime for everybody. Even if that means there's only one anime out of all the anime that has ever been made for this person, they're only going to like that one.
Yeah.
And
don't get me wrong. Like, I say this
And I struggle with it, okay? Like, I struggle with the idea that I would show my dad The One, and then he would end up loving JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's a haunting thought. But you have to be unselfish. And, like, you know, if that's what you like.
This is a perfect example right now, actually. A couple people at my work, people I've gotten a little close to, mm-hmm. very nerdy. We enjoy a lot of the same things. Mm-hmm. They love JoJo's.
Mm.
Like are obsessed with it. And my gut reaction is, I don't want to talk about that. I don't even want to talk to you about it. But be like Tim.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm open to hearing their...
That's a fair argument.
Yeah.
And my roommate... his name is Matt as well. Mm-hmm. He just moved in, like, maybe it's been a month or so. And he loves anime. And he loves JoJo's. And I was like, he's really good at articulating his thoughts, I think. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of made me take a different perspective on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And just kind of be like, okay. Like, if that's how you watch it and that's what you, like, okay, it makes sense. And he also explained how the first arc with the first mm-hmm. JoJo is not great. Like, that is the worst of the JoJo. JoJo's.
I heard the same thing, and I was very surprised to hear that.
And I was like, that's fair, because he was probably one of the leading factors of why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I didn't watch it anymore. And so, keeping that in mind, and then him saying it's not necessarily about the story, it's more so of going on an adventure with someone. Mm-hmm. And, like, I understand that. And I don't really get into the adventure ones, like One Piece mm-hmm. or Fairy Tale or stuff like that. I just prefer story. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I don't like JoJo as much. Or yeah. I'm not attracted to watching it.
And that's a lot different than watching the little bit that... I don't know if you watched with us. I think you did.
It was me, you, and Ryan Hoover. Yep.
And we watched probably the first six episodes, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And we all were just on the same page. Like, this is the weirdest
thing I've ever watched.
Now,
yeah.
And here's the interesting thing, because there's a weird thing that we experienced. I don't know if you were there or not. In This Corner of the World. Remember that movie?
I was not there,
and I have been told to watch it. I've been told.
So, that was one of my stories. That was the story I was going to initially tell about Tim.
Yeah. Okay. That. Wow. It's like almost all you can get out about this animated movie. I did not know what it was for a while we were watching it.
No idea.
I was trying really hard to decide, like, what direction.
That is the most grounded anime I've ever watched.
Yeah.
It is the most realistic, gritty, just hard to just get through. But everyone loved it.
Yeah. It was incredible, except Kane hated it.
Oh, well, that's fine. Yeah.
But it was one of the most incredible experiences ever, watching something. It was so out there. And it challenged me. That's what I loved about In This Corner of the World more than anything else. Because there were points where I really wanted to write it off and be like, "Nah, this isn't good." There's so many points where I wanted to do that, and I was like, "Okay, let's really watch, let's pay attention, let's eliminate the preconceived notions of what this should be, and just allow it to be." Like, even down to the animation took me a little bit to get used to.
Mm. For me, it's funny. If I watched that by myself, I would think that was good.
Mm.
That was fine. But because I watched it with a group of people that don't normally watch anime,
yeah,
like, it became something that was so enjoyable to see so many different type of people react to one thing. And one thing that is, again, not their norm.
Yeah.
So, like, even down to Kanyon's opinion of it, that's still interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, so the experience of watching that was what was so incredible about it. Again, if I watched it by myself, it would just be, yeah, you could watch that movie if you wanted. But now I'd have to, I don't think I would even recommend it.
Mm.
Because I would recommend it, but it'd be like, I cannot recommend it
I just remember y'all were like, you need to watch this movie. Or it's a movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely worth watching. It is a very, again, it's a very grounded movie. It's not, nothing about that speaks fantastical or out there. Not a single part of it. There's maybe two scenes in the whole movie that are artistic. And it's because she does art, the main character. And they're beautiful. They're really pretty to look at when they're done. But for the rest of it, I mean, it's just watching. It's watching a movie.
Yeah.
It's. I could go to the movies, or I could turn on the TV and watch a movie, and it would be the same as watching that. It's not anime in that sense. It's not. So.
It gives me. It's crazy because it's like it gives me the same vibes that, like, Hacksaw Ridge gave me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
That's like the same level.
That makes so many relations to Western. I mean, we're in Western media,
and that's how it makes sense, though, right? It's how we have experienced and understood the world for so long, and that kind of brings me to a really good point. Another reason I think anime is so prominent is because it's such an easy window to get out from underneath Western culture. Right, like in the West, the culture is the West. Yeah. Unlike a lot of other places that you go in the world, like it's just the West. And so anime is this really, really unique, easy access window that you just get to completely dive into a culture that's strange to you. It's an adventure that you get to take while sitting on your couch at home. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to look at it like that. Yeah. It invites a new type of experience. It's what, like, otaku is all about.
I think this is a perfect segue into the point of this podcast is to learn, is to grow, which means we are people who need to learn and grow, just like we are hoping this will help other people too. So we are always open to ideas, comments, criticisms.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than that, you know, as always, like, comment, subscribe. We want to hear from you. We genuinely care about what you have to say, and look forward to hopefully coming up soon some audience-driven topics. It gets us out of our comfort zone and challenges us to talk about things that aren't the things that we think of.
Do your worst.
don't challenge a lot of people like that.
I'm totally gonna do it. Challenge.
Najee was the one that said that, not Matt.
It was definitely. Or,
and Jacob's sitting quietly, so I don't know his opinion, but that's what Jacob does. He just sits and waits.
Well, I'm just hungry right now, so I'm at the point where I'm like thinking about food.
Yeah, so as Jacob thinks about food, you think about liking, commenting, subscribing. And with that, we say adieu.